Aloha, mud babies, pod people, and inhabitants of the planet Earth. It is I, your tiki leader, Steve Mudflap McGrew. Finally, back with another podcast. It's been almost 3 weeks, but that's because last week this guest got sick and said, like 5 minutes before the podcast, hey, I don't have a voice.
It was like 4 hours before.
Okay.
I text you and I'm like, hey, my throat hurts. You know, can we do it next week?
Right. So. Well, he's here. He's finally here. He's back. You want to use Flip or do you want to use
I don't care.
The
Flip
real
or
name?
Greg. I'm still going to call you Mudflap or
okay.
Flappy. So.
Okay. So it's Flip, everybody, from a KYG, formerly KYGO.
Yeah.
You did overnights.
No, I never
no,
did.
No, late nights. Sorry, late was late nights.
Did nights and then I did middays. And then I did nights again. So.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and people go, whatever happened to Flip and Flap? What's Flip and Flap?
I don't think anybody's asking about me.
No, they are. They're what happened? We don't know what happened to Flap and Flip, which sounds like you're driving on a flat tire. But
I got fired. That's what happened.
Is that really what happened?
Yeah,
or
yeah.
Did you finally just say no?
Nah, there was no, like, I was reaching the point of, like, I can't deal with this. But no, I eventually, like.
Isn't that the point that everybody reaches in radio these days?
Of what, I don't want to do this anymore?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just becomes, oh, can't do it.
Now, there's still plenty of suckers out there.
That'll work for $10 an hour.
Oh, man. Yeah, we got, the company I'm currently employed for, which we won't name, we got bought out and they just came in and made some changes and they announced that holidays no longer pay time and a half. So you now make the standard hourly rate for working holidays. And I'm like, how are you going to get people to work?
So it's becoming the Walmart of radio.
Oh, man.
I guess radio in general is turning into that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's everywhere. I mean, nobody's immune anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a matter of which place sucks the least.
Well, there doesn't seem that radio is looking for talent anymore as much as just can you keep us on the air? And say time and temperature.
No, that's it. But on the flip side, do listeners care? I mean, does today's average listener care about talent? Are they, you know, I believe they're there for the music. So
you're still with that, the belief of music, and especially in this day and age of, you can get it off Pandora, you can get it off iHeart. I think radio itself should be. Let's give them something they can't get off of anywhere else.
No, I agree there. I mean, you have to, you're right, you have to have some sort of incentive to listen, but are you going to find enough decent talent for one whole market's worth of radio stations, let alone every city in the country?
Yeah, that might cost them money.
Oh, man. Yeah. And on the flip side, even if they had enough talent and they had the money to pay it, would they be able to recoup that money in advertising dollars? Because let's face it, the advertising landscape's changed. So
yeah, someone told me the other day the days of the million-dollar morning shows are gone.
Oh man, done.
That's just it. So you and I both got into radio about the wrong time. It was like it was the waning days of
the downward slope. I got to enjoy it. I mean, I enjoyed. I mean, I still enjoy it. Like, not that I love my job. I don't hate my job by any means. But, you know, I'm never going to make six figures at my job, so.
Right. So we got in sort of like in the last days of the studio days of Hollywood, when the studios ran everything and there was big stars. And we kind of got in on the, hey, we're the independents. Would you like to work for us? Make an indie movie for like $5?
Yeah, exactly.
Sure, why not?
And then we wonder why we're not winning Oscars. So.
Right. Yeah.
But it's funny that we started with this because I was reading online, did you hear that Cumulus, the second largest owner of radio stations in the country, now has part ownership in a record label?
Oh, isn't that illegal and double dipping? Or
they have teamed up with Big Machine Records, who's
right.
Taylor Swift, Florida Georgia Line, Brantley Gilbert, long list, Tim McGraw now. Long list of artists to start this new joint venture, and I guess it's legal as long as you state every time you play the song that, you know,
this is one of ours.
This is brought to you by such and such record label, and the first two artists they sign are Reba and Kix Brooks.
Oh, it's the Nash Icon.
Nash Icon
Nash,
label. There
Nash
you go.
Nash Icon. Yes. Yeah, I remember reading about that. I didn't know if that was Cumulus's deal, but
oh,
I guess I should have because it's the Nash.
So how does this? I mean, I just found this out yesterday. So how does this change everything? Because now is
well, doesn't it change anyway? I mean, it's been like this for a while because like Sony owns record companies, and doesn't Sony come down to owning businesses and it part of the, like, I've heard that there's only like four or five companies that own everything. Like General Electric owns this, that owns part of this recording and part of this TV. And
yeah, but Sony doesn't own radio stations, at least not directly that I'm aware of. And, you know, Warner Brothers and Universal, Sal, Toby Keith's big show dog records, they don't own stations. But now this record label is the second largest owner of radio stations in the nation. And as far as I know, every Cumulus station is playing Reba's brand new single. So how does this change that? I mean, I'm just curious to see how the landscape changes.
Yeah, but if it's Nash Icon, it will probably be for the older, more established artists. Like one of the ones I heard they're going to do is Hank Jr. They're going to sign Hank to Nash Icon. So I think it's going to be help those people get back on the air, because Nash Icon is a station in itself.
Well, Nash is a Cumulus branded station,
right? But they're doing a classic country called Nash. Oh, okay. Nash Icon on some stations.
But like Kix Brooks is the second artist signed now. You know, Kix and Ronnie split up, what, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago now.
But now they're back.
Well, they're back, absolutely.
Because they're going to do Vegas together with Reba.
But they both did solo projects, and they both flopped. I mean, respectively, I mean, Ronnie had more success than Kix did, I think. But
well, yeah, you didn't think that Hall and Oates were going to be able to do it alone either.
Well, no, and absolutely, I mean, it's not Brooks and Dunn. And people, you know, stations didn't care. But now that Kix Brooks is signed to Nash Icon,
play his stuff.
Is he suddenly going to have hit songs? Because, I mean, when you're the second largest owner of radio stations in the nation and you start spinning songs, it's going to go up on the charts. And then other stations are going to look at the charts and go, hey, this Kix Brooks song is top 25 now. We got to start playing it.
Right, right.
So you own the charts now. Or at least
see it that way.
It has the potential, in my mind, to own the charts. And I'm like, wow, is this where it's headed? I mean, how long before Clear Channel teams up with Sony and they start a joint ventured record label?
Yeah, yeah. It's very much monopoly sounding, you know, of like, we'll tell you what to play and here you go, and that's it.
I don't know. The next 5 years, I think, are going to be really interesting. You know, if the government doesn't step in and say, hey, look, you can't do this. Like, this is not, you know, even though you're saying brought to you by, this is still borderline plug-ola payola, because they have to, you know.
Yeah, but if you think about it the same way, what about the TV stations that do, like, you know, ABC shows ABC shows, mm-hmm. and they're produced at ABC studios? Maybe they're going to go that angle of, you know, we're making the product that our station gives to you.
We're the content provider and distributor.
Right, right.
It'll be interesting. So I mean, but still, ABC sells, you know, their shows on other... You don't watch CBS and see a brought to you by ABC.
No.
I mean, so other companies, you know, if they want to play the new Reba single, they're paying money to Cumulus, so I don't know.
I want in on that. I don't know what it is, but I want in on that. Well, what music are you listening to today? What is your favorite...
I listened to Dierks Bentley on the way over.
Yeah?
Yeah,
New Dierks, old Dierks?
New Dierks, Riser, his uh-huh. latest album, which is nominated for a Grammy next month.
Right.
So
I'm a Dierks fan. I do like Dierks, always have. But at some point, don't you feel like a lot of Dierks' stuff is falling into a kind of a simple, it's the same as tune, same formula kind of thing?
Well, I'm assuming you heard, did you hear this mashup that somebody created of like the nine biggest country songs from last year?
Yes, that I did hear.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, that, now that's the new country thing. But as far as Dierks, because I listened to the Riser album and I kept thinking, going, bring it up, give me a little up tempo. Mm-hmm. Could you speed it? Is the next one going to be faster?
He's missing the rock, and that's not a, like, he's missing the, like, rock song on that album.
Yeah, yeah.
It's, I don't know, Drunk on a Plane was catchy. You know, here's your pop country hit.
Right, I liked that one.
Yeah.
And the video was great.
I was going to Hawaii when that album came out, so I was already listening to that
song.
You
were drunk on a plane.
I was drunk on a plane, absolutely. Bet your ass. So I think I Hold On is a great song.
Right.
Like, absolutely, hands down, favorite song on the album. Yeah, I mean, I guess it falls into that category. Dirk's best album in my mind is his Bluegrass album. Amazing. I thought it was
Up
great.
On the Hill? Or what was
Up
it?
On the Ridge?
Up on the Ridge, yeah. That was pretty good.
I
like this Bluegrass version of the U2 song.
Yes. Yes, yeah, very, very good version of that.
Now, are you still the big Eric Church? You were a carry the Eric Church flag long before he blew up.
I was a big Eric Church fan. I'm still a big Eric Church fan. The Outsiders is unique. I don't think it's as good as Chief, which I didn't think was as good as Carolina. But you know, it's nominated for a Grammy next month. It's competing against Dirk, so you know, it's a good album. I like Eric Church. He's coming to town here in a couple of weeks. I actually don't think I'm going.
You're not going?
I know, don't think so.
The girlfriend's going without me.
Oh, is she?
Yeah. Not that I wouldn't have gone, because Dwight Yoakam is there. Mm-hmm. I would have loved to have seen Dwight Yoakam.
But for me,
I might have been able... Okay, Dwight's done. You ready to leave?
That's an interesting move, because that says to me that Eric... When you bring an act like Dwight Yoakam, it means that you don't need your opening act to sell tickets for you. Like... And I don't mean that as a dick move, but when you're not bringing somebody current or, you know, you're not going on the road, who would have been a good fit for Eric opening up? I don't know.
Well, somebody else is opening for the both of them.
Yes.
There's one of those one, two-hit wonders that they do now on every concert.
But usually, like, when these big shows roll into town, play Pepsi Center or the Amphitheater or Red Rocks or whatever, there's several names on the bill. And nothing against Dwight. I like Dwight.
Uh-huh.
But you're talking about a guy that hasn't had a hit in a decade?
Oh, no. No.
All right.
2 years.
It's been,
he had an album called Three Pairs 2 years ago. And he won, like, the American, I think it was American Music Award for that. And
okay.
But I think it's American
Music. Did he have charting singles? Did the album?
No. All right.
And I don't mean that as an arrogant, like, I think it's great that it's critically acclaimed, but it's not a hit album. It's not a hit single. I mean, it's not... current mainstream.
But so much stuff that is critically acclaimed in this day and age, like, I didn't even know. You ever look at those things, like, they'll win an award, and you're like, who knew that Roseanne Cash did an album last year? You know, every time you see something, like, nominated for a Grammy, you're like, wow, I didn't hear anything about this.
Well, it's like the Oscars, like, now that Golden Globes are over, I've been going through and watching some of the movies that were nominated, and I'm, like, Birdman. I watched Birdman.
What'd you think?
It's okay. It's weird. I mean...
Did you like it?
I think I enjoyed it. I didn't... Michael Keaton was great in it.
Uh-huh.
I don't know that... Well, I just told you Whiplash is my favorite movie that I've seen in the last 5 years, and it didn't get nominated for Best Picture. And I'm like... I was somewhat disappointed by some of the other movies that did while Whiplash didn't. So it's, you know, it's a matter of opinion.
Well, was Birdman okay on the level of I liked it for visual thing, or did you feel like... I don't understand... who he was talking to, and
it was confusing. I mean, it was a little strange. It was a little out there for me, maybe
because, like, at the very end, not to spoil anything, but the ending, did he fly away?
I don't.
You know what I mean? It's like, what is the? It was one of those movies that just left you with a lot of questions. But a lot of people like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, somebody I talked to about that movie goes, well, a lot of people won't like it. You know, that like their movies all nice and cute and wrapped up for them.
Mm-hmm. I don't mind open-ended. I mean, I don't want to spoil too many movies, but one that I watched recently that I thought was great is open-ended, and I was okay with that.
Which one was that?
Whiplash. It's open.
Oh, it's open-ended.
It's kind of open-ended. Like, you see, it leads you up to a certain point, and then it leaves you, and you're like, you want to know what happened next, but you don't.
Yeah,
so.
I like movies like that sometimes where it's just going along, and all of a sudden it'll go black.
Yes.
And you're like, well, what?
That's Whiplash.
What? Did they kill the guy? Did they get away? That's the point of the whole thing.
It just seems like Oscar season, that's the way it always ends. Like, all the great nominated movies in that way, unless, like, Selma. I watched Selma, like, we know.
And Hayek wasn't even in it. Selma Hayek was not even in it.
Is she still hot?
I think so.
Probably.
But that was the first thing I thought of. I know how horrible that is. When I heard about this movie, Selma, I was like, they're making a movie about... No, they're not.
She's that big.
She is that big in her country.
For Rack.
Yeah.
God.
Now, was Selma good?
I thought it was good. It was the acting I thought was great.
How's Oprah? How is Big O?
Oprah. I was shocked she was in there. I was like, oh, that's Oprah, which was kind of funny. And then Common, the rapper's in there.
Yeah. Well, does he act in it? Because I know he wrote the theme song.
He doesn't have a huge part in it. At least I'm pretty sure. I'm like 95% confident it was Common. I think he's a great actor.
Yeah. He's great in Hell on Wheels. Do you watch the Western Hell on Wheels?
No, I haven't seen that.
He's in that. Actually, spoiler alert, he just got killed off.
Oh, really?
But he's good.
Yeah. No, but the actor that played MLK Jr., I was really impressed. He did a great job. And I don't know. You learn. I like history movies like that. So.
Are you a Western movie guy?
Modern Westerns, not classic. So, like, if I'm going to watch 310 to Yuma, I'm going to watch the new version with Christian Bale versus the original 310 to Yuma.
But everybody says the original is the better 310.
I'm sure it probably is. But I'm a new Western. Like, I can do the newer current Westerns last 15 years. Tombstone and beyond.
Tombstone, one of the greatest Westerns of all time.
Yeah.
Followed by Open Range, which is, I had Ben Roy on the podcast last time.
Mm-hmm.
Ben is a major Western guy, and those are right up there as far as the classics. And I think everybody, even if you're a John Wayne fan, go back there. The newer Westerns got grittier. They're more realistic and more grittier.
Hmm. Well, Open Range is on the movie server that I set you up with.
Oh, nice. So. I will check that out.
Lots of movies.
Yeah. Well, the name of the podcast, of course, is Remasculate. What do you see as a man movie that you would recommend? What movie would you go? Every guy needs to see this movie.
Oh. Dazed and Confused.
Yeah?
That's
your guy.
That's my man movie. I don't know. I like that movie.
What's the line that Matthew McConaughey does about...
My favorite part about high school girls, they stay the same age and I keep getting older.
Yeah.
What is it? I keep getting older and they stay the same age. There we go.
Yeah.
Did you see... I just watched his audition tape.
On Facebook.
Yeah, I just watched that today.
Where he's faking driving. Sitting in a chair, faking driving.
Then, of course, he doesn't have the mustache and all the facial hair or whatever that he actually had in the part. So it's kind of funny to see him.
Wooderson, was that the character's name, or Woodson?
Something like that. It starts with a W.
Yeah, and it said something about nobody else could have played this part but him.
And they didn't originally want him for the part because they thought he was too young and not skeezy enough for the part, and then they said that he had some sort of charisma about him.
Oh, he was perfect. When you watch the movie, he's just like that guy that hung out trying to still
scam
on
the younger girls. Yeah. And that movie's great because you've got Ben Affleck's in there. There's some names in there like early on that.
Oh, the what's her face? The girl that was in all the sci-fi movies. Is it Mila? Can't think of remember her name, but she's in all the.
I guess I'll have to look it up.
You Google. You Google. That's what everything now. You got
to
Google.
I was gonna say Google has the answer to everything. It's killed the bar debate.
Oh, you know what it's killed?
What?
It's killed lies. That's what it has killed. You know, it's like, you know, they such and such won the Super Bowl and...
The bar debate.
It didn't.
I read some article where somebody, they wrote about how the bar debate is dead, where you used to sit in a bar over drinks and argue about just pointless, meaningless, who was in what movie and who won what Super Bowl. And now it's like, oh, well, let me look it up.
Well, then you got to argue with that. No, I'm right. They're obviously wrong.
Mm-hmm. Adam Goldberg's in it. Oh, Mila Jovovich.
Yes, that's the one from Fifth Element and stuff like that.
Who else is in this? I don't recognize any of the other names. Matthew McConaughey. Anyways, so that's my man movie. What's your man movie?
Oh, man movie. Gosh, I was going to have to go with probably something like Tombstone or Open Range.
Okay.
Or any John Wayne movie.
Any John.
And I think one of the things that's missing for kids, and especially little boys in this day and age, is the Western. Just growing up knowing, watching the good guy versus the bad guy, all that kind of, you know, watching out for the lady. You know, every old Western, like, I've got to go now. You take care of the ladies while I'm gone. You take care of the women folk. Well, yes, sir.
That mindset's dead.
You know, that mindset of that is kind of gone. That whole, you're the masculine thing. You're supposed to take care.
Here's what's sad. I don't know that I have ever watched the entirety of a John Wayne or even a Clint Eastwood Western.
Ever?
Ever.
No Hang 'Em High.
Nope.
No Outlaw Josie nope. Wales, which is another one of the ultimate.
Nope. It's funny, my dad, he was a fan growing up of John Wayne. I remember him watching Westerns. It's never been my thing, I guess. So
that's why this podcast exists, to remasculate.
So I need to start watching Westerns to be masculine.
Well, what do you think, as a guy, what's your take on anytime a guy speaks up in a masculine way, that you're immediately labeled, you're such a sexist, or, you know, they are so old-fashioned, that's so old thinking. Don't you think that guys sort of are getting beat down just slightly with the, well, that's just not the way it should be done. Well, that's the way it's done now.
Well, I mean, like the mindset of the woman belongs in the kitchen? I mean,
not that far back.
You should totally be doing my laundry. I mean,
no, not that far back. But as far as, but roles, knowing what roles were.
Roles?
Like, yeah.
How do you mean? Like the woman pays the bills? I mean.
No, it's either deciding on what it's supposed to be. You know, like, okay, you do this, I do that. It can be decided among a couple. But didn't it seem like there were more defined, like, masculine? I heard one of the reasons that guys now are doing the whole lumberjack look, speaking of growing a beard, is that guys, it's some way to reclaim a masculine element. That guys are just feeling like, I don't even know where I exist in this world anymore, because testosterone makes you feel a certain way.
Oh, yeah.
It makes you have thoughts and urges, and, you know, we are violent little boys. That's why they like to wrestle from a very early age and poke each other in the arm and, like, hey, don't act like that. Don't be violent. Well, that's what testosterone does. So I think there's a confusion.
So you think we're killing masculinity with...
In a way. Can you...
Being more PC, I guess?
Yeah. You don't act like that. Don't do that. Don't give your little kid a gun. If you watch little kids, they'll pick up a stick and pretend it's a gun.
Yeah, I remember growing up and having, you know, guns before they had to put red caps on the barrel to signify that they were fake. But,
yeah,
you know, and they made gun sound effects, and we ran around the yard shooting each other, and you play dead.
Play dead. You play good guy, bad guy.
Which I guess now, I guess you're right. The mindset has changed, because I look at that now and I'm like, oh, wow, it almost seems inappropriate now because, you know, well, you shouldn't play guns. I mean, you shouldn't fake shoot each other.
But then it's not real. That's almost a utopian attitude of, I know you shouldn't, but it happens. So shouldn't we act it out or be prepared or teach your kid right and wrong and not? What if? Wouldn't it be nice if we didn't?
I don't know. You're asking the wrong guy. I'm single now, so.
Oh, so you're falling into the, yeah, whatever. Whatever she wants,
yeah.
I'll.
No, I mean, Aubrey and I broke up.
What?
Yeah. All right, so you know when we went to dinner last month?
Wait a minute. Hold up.
No, that's why. I
thought you meant single, like I'm just not married.
No. I'm single.
Aubrey
and I broke up when we went to dinner last month on the way home from dinner with you and the girlfriend.
Get the fuck out of here.
Me and the girlfriend broke up.
On the way home from
dinner? On the way home.
What? Can we ask what happened?
Nothing's off limits, so.
What happened?
All right, so. She moved in back in June, and I guess I started seriously thinking about, oh, wow, all right, she's living in the house now, and, you know,
it's different.
It's getting serious, and she's, from early on in the relationship, you know, after 4.5 years, but early on in the relationship, she made it clear that she wanted kids.
Right.
And I initially said I didn't want kids. And she said that would be a deal breaker. So I took some time to think about it and decided that I would give it a go. Like, I will try to be on board with this.
Yeah.
So we dated 4 years later. I pretty much decided that I didn't want kids. That's what my trip, when I was back in Missouri last month, that was my...
So driving home from the meal, you just turned and went, you know, I don't want kids.
I shouldn't laugh, but it was somewhat... We'd been fighting. I'd been kind of mean lately. And not... I never hit a woman or anything, but I've been just kind of snarky. And she asked me about it, and finally I just said, look, you know, I've given this a lot of thought, and I don't want children.
Ever.
Ever.
And she said, okay, I will pack when I get home?
No, I mean, it was, I pretty much said, I don't want kids, and I think we should end this so I don't waste your time. So, that was pretty much...
And how long after that until the house was clear?
It's still not clear.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So it's, she's been taking stuff slowly. I mean, it's, you know, I want to maintain a friendship with her.
Wow, I feel horrible.
It's, yeah.
4.5 years. That's how long the girlfriend and I, Mustang, have been dating. Mm-hmm. You mean it could fall apart? You're going to, she's listening to this, is scaring the crap out of her right now. Don't worry about it. I'm just messing with you because he did.
Well, if you know that Miss Thang wants something long term down the road, you know, she's expecting something and you know you're not willing to give it to her. I mean, are you going to?
So you're sure, you're absolutely sure you never, ever want kids.
I have said since I was 19 that I didn't want kids. And have gone through the bulk of my 20s saying I didn't want kids. I had a good friend that went and got got snipped. You know, got a stuff cut
early.
Early, like 23, 24.
Because he said I'd never want kids.
And his mindset, oh, it's reversible. And I'm thinking, well,
okay, good luck.
Hopefully, fingers crossed. But I immediately, that's actually what brought up the conversation initially between me and the girlfriend was. He went and got his stuff snipped, and I was like, I'm going to get mine done. And
don't you dare.
Yeah. She said that's a deal breaker, and so I put it off, and I didn't do it. But yeah, I just don't long-term see that in my future. So, and that's something that's very, very important to her. So I, you know, kind of reached the mindset of I don't want to waste her time. So.
So you're pretty sure it's over and done.
Yeah.
You cannot see this working out or you changing your mind at some point. Ladies, Flip is single.
They're beating down the door, I'm sure. Oh. No.
Your Tinder account is going to blow up.
What's Tinder? Should I know what that is?
That's one of those dating apps.
Okay.
How do you not know, Mr.?
4.5 years in a relationship. Tinder wasn't around when I was single last.
Right. Well, the only reason I know about it is if you watch TV.
Uh-huh.
There's jokes about it now.
Okay.
Oh, would y'all meet on Tinder? You know, one of those kind of...
Yeah. Maybe I'll check out Tinder.
I'm just still shocked. Totally shocked.
That's why I didn't say anything until the podcast. I'm like, all right, that'll...
I am shocked.
That'll give him something to talk about.
Does Janet know anything about this?
Nothing.
Either? Nothing.
Because her and the ex and Miss Sang are actually going to dinner or drinks or something on Monday, I think.
Oh!
So I saw the ex last night.
Right. And it was nice.
She had said that you guys they were getting together, and I'm thinking, well, that's funny because me and Mudflap are about to record the podcast. So,
and then the cat will be out of the bag.
Yeah.
Well, then you really do need to man up, America. You need to, now that you're single, you need to. Is that why the beard is growing out? A change in your life?
Yeah, my give a damn's busted. So.
Uh huh.
Yeah, just kind of.
So what do you,
repellent?
What does a guy look for? In a woman now. What is your if you put your list out there?
If I listed things that I
What's the?
I don't know.
A job, high on the list.
A job is up there. I think an education.
Uh huh. Are you one of the guys? Do you like women that are like smarter? Or do you feel like are you intimidated by a smart woman?
My last girlfriend was in college for psychology.
Mm-hmm.
So I always felt intimidated because she was on the verge of graduating and I had never graduated college. So that was for me personally, that was a stigma thing of,
I would worry about dating somebody who had a psychology because everything would be under scrutiny. It'd be constant analyzing. You know, anytime they'd go, it'd be like, what did that mean?
It, At times I felt like it was. It was.
Yeah.
It was
Am I a term paper?
It was a little threatening in that regard. There would be times where we would argue and she would get me to say things that I had no intention on saying. Uh-huh. And I'm like, oh, you just tricked me. You totally just used Jedi mind tricks on me to get me to blurt that out. So yeah, that happened a couple of times. But yeah, as far as smarter woman, she was more educated. And I guess you could say the last one was more educated. She's already graduated.
Yeah.
So.
Money? Are you intimidated by, or you think guys in general?
I've never dated a woman that made more money. Yeah, that made more money. So I would say that wouldn't be an issue.
It wouldn't be an issue as long as it was a joint account, right?
Yeah, as long as I could spend some of it. I don't know. As long as I would feel comfortable with it as long as I was bringing in.
You wouldn't feel.
A decent income myself.
You wouldn't feel emasculated by the fact that she was making more money and maybe buying you clothes. It's like, I think you should wear this.
Aubrey bought me a lot of clothes. Actually, she bought me this shirt.
Really?
Yeah. She made me a better dresser, I feel like.
See, I'm trying to get y'all back together. I'm trying to see, like, okay, you weren't intimidated by smarter women.
Everybody's.
Money is okay. She bought me clothes. I'm trying to figure out what the problem was other than, hey, I don't want to have a baby.
Is that something you feel you can overcome?
No.
I mean, if I don't want kids and she wants, I mean, if that's one of the most, she told me, you know, she envisions herself having children, raising those children, and, you know.
Oh, no, I totally understand this, and I've said this on the podcast before, and the girlfriend actually knows this. Remember Copper, when I worked at KYGO, the girl I dated, Copper, that ran Copper Mountain? Casey?
Vaguely. That was early on.
That was right when one of the reasons we split up was she was like, hey, if you don't want to have kids, I'm out.
That was a deal. That was the deal breaker.
That's why she, like, all right, if you don't want to do this, then I'm like, no, because I don't want kids. I have my son mm-hmm. from a previous marriage, and I'm done.
No more babies.
I don't want any more. So I totally understand how somebody can make the decision. Mm-hmm. I know it was you going, like, if this is what you want, then
I'm
going to let you.
I mean, if she came back now and suddenly said, I don't want kids, it doesn't fix the problem because I know she's just saying that to
get in the house and stick pinholes in your condom.
I don't think she's devious, but it wouldn't be genuine. I know it wouldn't be genuine because I know how important that is to her. I don't want to deny her of that. And, I started feeling guilty. I mean, we've been together 4.5 years. I don't want to waste any more of her time. And selfishly, I wanted to keep...
You have wasted the best years, the baby-making years.
You don't even know how...
Her eggs have already started to go bad.
She's 24, so... Can't be... I figure I couldn't go any longer. I didn't want to end things. I wanted to keep things going. But
why'd you just drag it out as far as you could?
Because then, you know, eventually the day's going to come where it's, let's make a baby, and then I'm going to go,
the
no.
shit or get off the pot thing happens,
yeah,
you know?
That, it does happen. It would happen.
Uh-huh.
So, and I don't want her to resent me at that point, that I now that, you know, we're in our 30s, or she's
what
in
happens
her
30s. If she would have just come up and go, I think we've had an accident. I think
and
you're going to be a daddy.
She's mentioned, like, what if, you know... Obviously, that's always a possibility, and, you know, obviously I would do...
Right.
I wouldn't duck out and bail. I mean, I would be there, but... And she keeps saying, you know, you don't know. You may love kids. And I believe that there's some truth to that, that if I had a child, maybe I would think it's the greatest thing on the planet, but...
But you've been around other people's nasty-ass kids, so your mind is, I don't want these.
I'm terrified. There's so much... The idea of making a baby scares the hell out of me. I mean, there's so
not
much...
Not the idea of making a baby.
Well, I can see
the
idea.
The idea of having a baby.
I love the idea of making a baby.
Making a baby. The idea of that scares me so bad.
But having...
I have to put my pee-pee where?
I know lots of kids that were just rotten, that were awful, and I'm just going, my life would be miserable if I had a child that just was a piece of shit. I mean... we all know somebody who's got a kid or who is a kid that is just
horrible.
Yeah, horrible.
Just horrible.
And I, you know, and her selling point is, you know, don't you want somebody to come and visit you when you grow old?
Right.
And
who's going to change your diaper one day?
Absolutely. And hopefully I make a lot of money so I can pay somebody to do that. But, you know, there's no guarantee that that's, you know, that that is, that that's going to happen someday. I mean, I just, I know kids that fight over their parents' money and, you know, kids that don't amount to anything. And, you know, there's so much, there's so many things terrifying me that could go wrong, like during the pregnancy. And, you know, what if your child is born with a mental illness? And I'm not saying that, you know, you should love your child any less. And, you know, it does, you know.
You're just saying how hard it would be
yeah,
to take
I just,
care of
I envision
it.
And I enjoy the ability to be able to go do something if I want to do it. If I want to go on vacation tomorrow.
Right.
Not that I have the money to go on vacation tomorrow, but if I did and I wanted to, it's nice having that a bit, and that's something that I don't know, that's a freedom that I want to give up ever.
Yeah, I know people that have chosen to be childless for that reason, for that exact, it would affect our lifestyle, that we're so happy with the way we are, the way we just, you know, hey, tomorrow, let's go to Vegas, because I know people that have done that. They're like, hey, they're watching a movie and go, hey, you want to go to Vegas this weekend? Sure.
Now, do you know anybody in that position who regrets not having a child? I mean,
no. Okay. At the same time, no. Okay. I don't. But I can see where people make the decision, I don't want this to change my life. And that's another problem that I think people don't do in this day and age is when you don't let the baby change your life.
Oh, I know.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Like, just because you have a baby doesn't mean you're supposed to put it on a backpack and take it to a concert.
Mm-hmm. I know a couple of parents come to mind immediately who they love to party before the child, and now after the child, they still love to go out and party. And I'm not saying you shouldn't, like, give up your life, but it's like, you know, you're now setting an example, even though your child's too young to realize, eventually they're not going to be, and it's like you're setting this example for a child of, you know.
Yeah, or just the loud music of a concert is not good for a baby's ears. And I just think sometimes people don't take into account that when this child comes along, it is supposed to change your life.
It's a life changer.
It is a life-changing moment.
You have a son. What do you think your life would be like if you didn't have a son?
Much less fulfilled, I would think.
Okay.
Because he and I get along great, I know about the times that we've gone fishing together and things like that. They did those father and son things that you probably did you do with your dad? That, you know, the hunting, the fishing, the...
Oh, we never hunted. We fished. Yeah. I mean, we had father son bonding activities that I enjoyed and I'll never forget.
Wouldn't you love to share those moments with a good kid? Because I heard you say I don't want a bad one, but wouldn't you love to share those father son? This is how you gut a fish. Hey, come here, you little pussy. It's just blood. You know? I mean, you know.
I don't know how to gut a fish, so I'd be like, come here, son.
Google.
We're going on YouTube right now, so we can learn together how to gut a fish.
How to gut a fish. But I guess that's what you would do in this day and age. Hey, look on YouTube. Find out how we're supposed to stick this knife in this deer's butthole and gut it.
I've done so much work on my own truck in the last year, and everything is off YouTube. It's like, oh, all right, how do I change a water pump? Ford Ranger.
Yeah, so, and there it is. Those people that make those videos, what do they have to do? You know, because I did the same thing. I fixed the shower up in the bathroom because it's one of those, you have to take it apart. It has the cartridge. It's a cartridge that goes in.
Mm-hmm.
I Googled on YouTube, and there was a plumber.
Mm-hmm.
Today's, I'm going to show you how to change the faucet in a... Like,
and you did exactly what he did?
And I did exactly what he... But at the same time, why isn't he charging for this? You know, these guys that make these how-to videos are they're either guys that have nothing better to do or the guys that just aren't smart enough to turn it into money. I don't understand what the...
Well, you can make money off YouTube. I mean, they have partnership agreements. I mean, the what is it? I want to say the guy with the most followers on YouTube, PewDiePie, he's a gamer. He commentates while he plays video games.
Right. I've watched a couple of those channels now. And I don't get it. I've watched a couple gamer channels.
I've got a gamer channel that I actually watch religiously.
Uh-huh.
It's not PewDiePie. I can't get into him. But that guy made $4 million last year.
Yeah.
I mean, just off... They estimate he made $4 million because the agreements are secret. But that's amazing to me. I'm like, wow, just for making YouTube videos. So I don't know if Plumber Joe made any money off your
is hoping that, oh, maybe that, I didn't think of that. Maybe you're right. Maybe he monetized the video, and then for every watch, you make this much money off of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is what's going on big time now with the vloggers. That's what, one of the ones that Janet and I have started to watch is called BF versus GF. It's boyfriend versus girlfriend. It's this guy and his girlfriend. They make daily vlogs where they just film themselves. They just walk around going, hey, we're going to the grocery store. What are we going to get for dinner? Oh, I don't know. And they show the like the aisle and, okay, well, let's buy. They're making.
You watch that? Really?
I watch shit like that.
I,
yeah.
I watch guys play video games.
But
so.
They're making, I heard, up to $8 million.
Oh.
Because of the revenue that they're getting, the viewership, the sponsors now, because they get so many people watching, people want to give them stuff like, hey, we got this new tea maker from such and such. Let's see how it works.
Well, then, you know, there's a woman that, some woman who you don't even see her, she opens brand new toys and kind of plays with them a little bit and commentates as she opens them. And I guess like little kids, toddlers, are addicted to this. So parents just put it on and leave it on all day. Of them opening these brand new toys, and the toddlers are just mesmerized. It's like Christmas, except they don't get to play. But I guess that woman is bringing in millions of dollars just from going to the store, buying toys, opening them, and filming. You see her hands and stuff.
Brilliant.
Brilliant.
Well, that's one of the, you saw the, that's when you walked in. I go, we're not making porn.
Oh, yeah.
There's lights and stuff.
The light in the bedroom is suspicious.
It's very
though,
suspicious.
Just saying.
I know. But the podcast that Janet and I do called Wrinkled Sheets.
Uh-huh.
That was, I thought that'd be part of, if we shoot this vlog, it'll be part of it, you know, hey, we can sit in bed and talk and stuff like that. So that's what that is. Part of that goes back to, that's what this new thing is. Everybody's doing vlogs, and we've shot a couple of them now on for the Wrinkled Sheets and the Remasculate and my YouTube.
Hmm.
And some of my videos have now gotten, you know, almost 200 views. It's small compared to the guys that are getting 5 million views. But everything I've read goes, you have to start somewhere.
Yes.
Every one of these body that has 1 million views started with one. And I can see why some people will fall away. Did I, you know, like, well, I've been shooting these for 2 weeks and nobody's watching them.
And give up hope.
Yeah.
That's why the guys that I watch that play the video games and commentate, I've been watching them for two and a half years now. So I've been watching for a long time, and I've watched just their view counts go up over time. And even when I jumped in, I went back and watched
some
older stuff, and it's been amazing to me. I'm like, wow, their view count, they call them Let's Plays. So every Monday and Friday, they upload a Let's Play. Their Let's Plays always get over 1 million views.
Yeah.
And it's cheap entertainment for me. I, you know, kick back. It's mindless entertainment.
Yeah.
And they're funny. There's six of the guys that all play. They're all in the same room. They're professionally mic'd. Their equipment has gotten better, and they moved studios in Austin. Now they've got a huge complex in Austin. It's amazing to me. I'm like, wow, you guys have turned this into a full blown business.
Now, are there several game screens on the TV? Like they're all, or you watch one?
They have somebody that goes in afterwards and edits the video together so that it switches.
Yeah.
You'll watch different characters, you know, because when you're playing, like they play Minecraft is one of the games, and there are times where Minecraft is very dull and boring, so, you know, they have somebody, they pay people
to
cut out the boring parts, and it's just amazing to me. I'm like, wow, you know, to be that, to have that kind of foresight to go, this is something we can make money off of.
All right. One of the vlogs that I watch is called the Pointless Vlog, and it's by a guy named Alfie out of England.
Okay.
And he has a gamer channel. It's the only reason I kind of switched to watch. And it really is just the game screen on the TV with him in a box in the corner.
Okay, he actually has the view of him.
Right. Mm-hmm. You're watching him play the game while you do it. And as much as I enjoy his personal vlog, the gamer part of it, I can't figure out the enjoyment of just watching somebody go, oh, look,
And that's the way.
Do you know what I mean? I can't.
Well, PewDiePie, he's same thing. It's just him, and he has a, you know, little box of him, of shooting just him.
Yeah.
And I'm the same way. I find it really dull and boring because it's just, I don't need to watch him play the game. I don't care what he looks like.
Right. And so what's the point? Do you learn from watching the Gamer Channel? Well, how does the Gamer Channel
work? It's funny because they play games that I have no desire or interest to play, that I will probably never touch. And I'm maybe a light to medium gamer sometimes, so I'm not even a huge gamer, I would say.
But you're a computer guy.
I'm a computer guy. Their commentary is interesting. The guys that I watch, like I said, it's six of them in a room.
Mm-hmm.
So there is banter back and forth. They will talk about stuff that has nothing to do with the video game. They will go on side tangents that are hilarious. It's
almost like a podcast in a gamer channel. Like there's just conversations that you like, but they're playing a game.
And at the same time, they'll commentate while they're doing stuff in the game. So at the same time, it's like watching a sitcom every week. So I'm like, oh, okay, like I know.
The characters.
This guy is the saboteur, so he's going to run around and fuck with other people and mess up, you know, whatever. And each week they have a task, or each episode they have a task where they're, you know, all right, first person to go and build this is going to win. So, you know, it's a competition at the same time. So I find it interesting.
And which gamer is channel is this?
They go by Achievement Hunter is the name of the...
Achievement Hunter?
Achievement Hunter. They're out of Austin, Texas. They're part of a bigger company called Rooster Teeth that makes...
Oh, I've heard about Rooster Teeth. They do a podcast. They do a regular podcast.
Yeah, they have their... I watch their podcast sometimes. Rooster Teeth, they do some... It's impressive. They've done music videos for, like, the Bare Naked Ladies. They're actually shooting their first movie right now.
Rooster Teeth is?
Rooster Teeth, actually, they did a GoFundMe or a Kickstarter and raised like $3 million to make a full-length feature film that they're in the process of shooting.
And that's another one of those phenomenons of today is GoFundMe, Kickstarter, that stuff, just to raise money.
I knew somebody that wanted to raise money to pay off their college tuition. They wanted to do like a GoFundMe for their college tuition, and I kind of chuckled. I'm like,
did they do it?
No. I'm like, I told him, I go, that's kind of, I personally find that kind of tacky of, you know, you made the choice to go to school and, you know, take student loans and get an education.
Right, but think of the brilliance in this, though.
All right.
If everybody did a GoFundMe for my education, and you know, you gave them $1 or $5, and they gave $5. Everybody would be helping pay off everybody's
education
in a way.
And I like where you're going with that. But at the same time, I would much rather put my money towards the doctor who spent $200,000 going to college and is someday maybe going to, you know, give me open heart surgery versus the liberal arts major who...
Okay, I'm with you on that.
Who's going to be working as a manager at McDonald's, you know?
Right.
Like, It's a dick move to bash somebody's degree, but it's like, come on. I mean, what are
you
going
to
do with
that degree?
Absolutely. You know, you went the same amount in debt as the doctor, and sorry, I'm not going to fund your fine arts degree.
I know of a guy that is overeducated. A guy that got too many degrees, went too far.
What are his
degrees?
Has a master
in archaeology.
Wow.
And ended up being a manager at Taco Bell because... There's really only so many things you can do with a master's of archaeology. You're either going to run a museum or you're going to lead a dig somewhere. You know what I mean? It's like it's a great, good for you.
It's very specialized,
but you're not going to do anything with it.
There's,
you know, you can discuss it at a party or something, or you can be knowledgeable when they find something and take it to a museum.
When I was going back to school at the beginning, I had to weigh. I'm like, is this a specialized degree that's going to pigeonhole me into, you know, working at a museum? Yeah. You know, my sister has a master's in Library of Science, which I didn't even know was a degree.
I didn't either. So she knows the Dewey Decimal System like the back of her hand.
I'm assuming so. So you work at a library with a Library of Science degree, and it took her a couple of years, but now she works full time for the Springfield, Missouri Library. And she's the book buyer for the library system in Springfield, so she's in charge of selecting what books to buy and how many and blah, blah, blah. But I'm like, that's a very specialized, that's a narrow field of what you're going to do with that. So when I chose my degree, I was like, we're going to go pretty broad, so I don't know.
But you're computer science, right?
That's science and engineering.
Which, in this day and age, is wide open.
I was reading an article on Yahoo where expected job growth for... I think it was a security analyst is 38% in the next 15 years, and computer software developer is 25% in the next 15. The job growth is, every time you hear about Sony getting hacked by North Korea, yeah, or, you know, Target's payment systems got broken into, I'm jumping for joy because I'm like, oh, yay, there's people breaking in and stealing, you know.
They're going to need me.
Yeah.
But the girlfriend made a reference to the day because we were at Target, and they asked her about, do you have the red card? You know, do you have the charge card for 5% off?
Mm-hmm.
And now we have the debit card, that they have a Target debit card, which is still a 5% off. And would you like to sign up for that? She's like, no, thank you. But as we walked away, she's like, you know, I just worry about Target. I go, why? Before, yes. You know, now it probably is the most secure thing ever.
It is locked down. Hey, if you're going to go get it on an airplane, what's the safest airplane to get on? The one that crashed yesterday.
Exactly, because they just checked every...
As long as it's not Malaysian Airlines.
Well, right, I mean, right. Don't get on any airline that you can't pronounce one of the words, or you're not used to seeing
it's in a language that you can't... Yeah.
Yeah, if it doesn't land at your local airport...
Then that's awful to say, but it's... You're right. Target's system is locked down, and knowing what I know about how they got into Target's system, they've patched that hole, and it won't happen again.
Right. So I think anytime people think of, like, oh, that's unsafe, Home Depot, you know, they got hacked, those are the ones now absolutely the safest.
They are watching out for that. So it's good luck getting into Sony Pictures now.
Now, can you hack into stuff like that? Not that you would, but you have the ability to do stuff like that?
I do not have the knowledge to hack. Yeah, I can code and I can create pretty basic programs, but I'm not breaking into the NSA or...
Does it take one guy to do hacking like that, or is it a room full of people that are running code trying to break something?
Nowadays, it's probably a group of guys generally, because stuff has gotten more complex and you need to...
But you remember the old movie, was it War Games, where the guy just sat there?
Never seen War Games.
You've never seen War Games?
I've never seen War
Another
Games.
Another man movie. But you know, it's the one guy that sits there and breaks into... You know the storyline?
Spoiler alert, come on.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole point of the movie, that he accidentally taps into the
and thinks he's playing a game, and it's
right.
Yeah.
But he's turned on all the nuclear... warheads and stuff. So
okay, yeah, that's not.
So the one guy sitting at home is not going, I wonder what Sony's up to.
I mean, you know, one guy can. There are solo guys who, like, some guy hacked the Sony PS3. He was actually, that one got a lot of press. Geo Hats or something. Anyways, he hacked into it, hacked the game system, I should say, to be able to play burnt and downloaded games. And he did that on his own, to the best of my knowledge. So you can hack stuff on your own. I don't have that ability. Even with a group of hackers, I wouldn't contribute.
Now, I've heard that there's a hackers convention.
Yeah, in Vegas every year.
Right.
Yeah.
So this is for real? A bunch of illegal activity is knowingly promoted in the city?
I want to say they bill it, because there's different. There's white hat and black hat hackers. Okay, so... I believe it's black hat hackers are the guys that are doing the illegal hacking, that are stealing your private information and buying boats with your social security number, whatever
right,
they're doing.
Right, like the commercials on TV for LifeLock.
Yeah, there you go.
She thought she was safe until the nurse took her identity.
Yeah, that guy is a black hat hacker. Yeah. And then white hat hackers are the ones that companies employ, or they, you know, they make it their goal to find hacks, and then they generally tell the company, hey, you have this issue with your software.
Do they sell it back to a company? Do they go like, hey, I found a backdoor loophole, and I will let you know what it is for...
Companies actually pay. Google actually has a process where if you find a flaw in Android, if you find some way to break into, bypass the Android lock screen, they have a reward system for turning in flaws in code or, you know, stuff that can be hacked, and they will compensate you. And then there's companies that actually were... You know, if you build something, you know, if you build an app or something and you want to test it, you pay this company to try and hack your whatever. Right. And that, you know, that's their job. They're employed by the security company to try and break into stuff.
And what kind of living can those people make?
If they're good, well into six figures. It's all about how good you are at it.
Right.
So
a friend of mine was telling me the other day about his kid. he's having trouble with his kid, like, you know, get off the computer, get a quit game, go outside, do something. And he's just all about the game. And he said his kid told him the other day, he goes, "Hey, I want to be a game tester. That's what I want to be. That's what, you know, don't tell me I don't have goals because I have a goal. This is what I want to do."
That's almost as bad as saying, "Hey, I want to be a radio DJ."
Is it?
Oh, yeah. Game testers are...
That is not a big career, not a moneymaker, but it is for real, though, right?
Everybody wants to be a game tester. Just like everybody, you know. How many people over your years in radio have you met and they're like, "I always wanted to be a radio DJ. I'd love to be a comedian.
Oh, I'd love to be. My friends always tell me I'm funny.
I'm funny and I got jokes and right. I could do stand up."
Right.
You've heard that a million times.
And that's pretty much what the game testers
yes.
want to be.
And there's even for game designers, unless you are developing your own games, unless you're making Flappy Birds. You remember that one?
Right.
All right. So that guy created Flappy Birds, so he didn't have any overhead, but one of the EA Games, which is one of the biggest game makers for consoles and PCs, they were rated one of the worst companies to work for in the whole country, the whole world, I think, a couple of years ago, because they are notorious. Everybody wants to be a game tester and game programmer. So
yeah.
I already know I'm not gonna develop games. And
not
I'm okay
even by
that.
Accident, you haven't had a thought of like, you know, this could be the next Flappy Bird.
I spent about 40 hours a couple of weeks ago building Texas Hold'em.
Uh-huh.
And that, it functions, but it's I couldn't sell
yeah.
it.
My brother's kid made me a program years ago. He was probably 14 or 15 at the time. And I wanted it to ask Flap. And it was one of those deals where you type in your question, and then the head would spin. It was a picture of me, and the head would spin.
It was a picture of your head
yeah.
spinning?
Yeah, and okay. the head would spin, and then the answer would pop out, like an 8-ball.
I was going to say, Magic 8-Ball, kind of, digital like a, Magic 8-Ball.
Yeah, and he made me this very rough, you know, the graphics were rough, but it worked.
Mm-hmm.
And I always thought, you know, something like that would be very cool if people just came up with ideas and somebody would sit around and go, "Hey, can you make me this?" But I never can find anybody that has a shop that just goes, "Hey, can you make this app? Do you know if it, do you see what I'm saying? Do you know anybody like that that just sets up a business of like, hey, I need this made?"
There are, I don't know of any that come to mind. I know there are companies that, you know, if you want a mobile app, you can go to them and
right. Yeah, I know those
pay
those
them
guys.
To make you a mobile app or make you, I guess, any app.
Yeah, I paid a couple $100 a year or so ago to have an app made. A guy made me an app that I don't use that like I should.
Oh. It's a mobile app?
Yeah, it's a mobile app, okay. And it was supposed to do, we'll do tour dates and stuff, but you have to update it yourself, and
oh,
I never
yeah.
got good at updating it. At one point, I'm like, I don't even know who's using the app. I'm not making any money off of it.
It's like a radio station website. Like, stations want to have a website, but then they don't put anything on it, so it's
right.
what's the
point of having it?
Having a website.
Yeah,
so.
But I just thought that might be money in a situation where a guy that knows how to program just sets up and says, "What do you need?"
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and there's guys like that. Generally, they're private contractors. So I know, I think I know one guy who graduated and does some private contract stuff on the side in addition to his actual job. Where if a company needs something built, I think there's sites you can go to and post it, and then they can go in and bid. "Hey, I'll
now
build you this for $7,000."
Yeah,
or, yeah,
right. Because I just always thought, I don't know anybody that has computer savvy. Everybody knows somebody that can do something,
mm-hmm.
or like I said, my nephew. Can you build this?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
but to get a really good version of something,
it's a lot of work. A lot of people don't realize how much. I told my dad that I spent 40 hours building Texas Hold'em, and actually, here I'll actually load it up and show you. Not that
you did the graphics.
The graphics are so basic. It wasn't. It was more about the back end of graphics are their own beasts, but getting the actual logic of the program to work, because teaching a computer how to pick out the best 5-card hand
uh-huh.
out of 7 cards
uh-huh.
was several hundred lines of code that I never imagined that it would be. And as I started to get into it, I'm like, wow, teaching a computer to play Texas Hold'em and decide, and I'm going to show you, and it's very basic in the grand scheme of things.
But I want to see the cards.
It's not Facebook.
It's not like the graphics like in Vegas of the cards flipping out.
Yeah, yeah, no.
Flipping out at you.
No fancy in between cutscenes.
Right.
Yeah, no.
It's almost one of those early video games where you type in, open the door. Door opened.
It's very close to that. You're going to laugh that this took me 40 hours to build, but I'm showing you a homework assignment.
He's typing now.
I'm showing you a homework assignment.
He's showing me a homework assignment. Thanks for listening to the podcast and homework assignment.
We're going to add this to your website, right?
Yeah, yeah. We could do that.
People can go there and play Shitty.
Play Shitty Hold'em.
Shitty Hold'em.
Shitty Hold'em. That's the name of it.
It's the Asian version.
Shitty Hold'em.
Damn it. What is it? Here we go.
Okay. Press any key to enter to continue. Okay, let me see. Any key.
There's my graphics. So this is God mode, so it shows you your hand and the opponent's hand, because the whole point of this was to...
So it's a word game, basically.
Yeah, pretty much.
Uh-huh.
The whole point of this was, it was for a probability class, so we had to compute the probability of your hand winning versus your opponent's. That's why it's so basic. Because it was all about,
I didn't hit the enter key.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you got to do that.
I thought it said enter any key. Oh, there it goes. There's the cards.
I'm like, oh, did you break my program?
No, you really aren't shitting. Those are the, those are like DOS.
That's ASCII art.
Is that what that is?
Oh, yeah, that's built-in computer art. That's
okay.
All that is. All
right.
So that's, let's see, if you hit it again.
Uh-huh.
Oh, no, it's actually computing the probability. It takes 5 minutes because it's running through a million different combinations of poker hands right now.
So this isn't a game that most people would want to sit and
we're gonna add this to your website and everybody's gonna play it once and they're gonna go, wow, this really sucks.
Yeah.
So but
you can do it.
It's possible. I can build Texas Hold'em. I don't know if I can, prevent your credit card.
Could
from
you
being
go
hacked.
To Vegas now that you know this?
No, they would laugh me out of Vegas.
You couldn't look at the cards coming out of the
You're talking about card counting.
Yeah, because you know the probability and all this stuff now. You know the five best hands or whatever. Do you know could you go and sit down and kind of in your head run this program and watch the cards?
What's that movie with Kevin Spacey where 21? Yeah. No. I'm going to minor in math and I can't do that now.
Yeah. Well, what use is this?
Math is worthless.
You need a kid. This is why you need a kid. You need a kid to show you how to use the computer.
I need a kid to make me feel stupid when he gets to algebra and I can't do it anymore.
That's what everybody's kid in this day and age is. You can't help them with their homework, but yet they can help you. Give me your phone. Blah, blah, blah. That's how
it
works.
They can fix everything.
Everything.
Man, I'm actually scared of when that point comes. I'm like,
Have you seen the video that was out about the kid that pops out of the womb, takes the cell phone from the doctor, takes the selfie?
No, I haven't seen that.
Then he runs up, gets up next to mom, and they take a selfie, and he uploads it to the internet.
I have not.
And it says, "Welcome to the new." It's kind of this "Welcome to the new age" where you are born. You're born into the internet.
Aubrey had a nephew that at 2 years old could work an iPad better than I can. So now I don't own an iPad, but he knew his way around it.
It's the future, and it's scary.
It's impressive.
Well, how do people find you? Do you have a
nope.
Twitter? No Twitter?
Nope.
No?
Nope.
You're back on Facebook,
nope.
But you don't want to promote
nope.
that?
I got nothing. I'm not here to pimp anything.
Nothing? Not even the radio show?
Not sell anything. I don't want anybody to listen.
Oh, Jesus. Tried to figure out why I had you.
I'm the best guest. I'm not self-promoting anything.
That's true.
I am here for you.
That is true.
It took me 5 years to finally come
to the show, and I appreciate that. Well, that's cool. We're at the end of the show here because it's an hour. We wrap it up.
And, okay.
But I had a good time. I appreciate it. What'd you think?
We talked a lot of random. We covered a lot of stuff. A
lot of random, but that's the whole point of this. It's just flow, and I think that's what people will like. And, like we talked about gamer channels. I've never fucking talked about gamer channels
in my life.
I'm going
to make you watch Achievement Hunter. Just so you know, I'm gonna point you to one of their videos that I want you to watch.
All right.
And then maybe you'll be...
Then I'll get hooked on it.
I don't know about hooked, but you'll probably be like, okay, I can see the entertainment value in this at least.
Cool.
For someone.
Cool. All right. Well, thanks for joining us here.
What do you want to pimp?
Oh, I'm going to pimp... I'll be in Birmingham, Alabama, doing comedy January 23rd through the 25th. I'll be in L.A. at the Ice House Valentine's weekend. And other than that, make sure you check me out on Twitter at Steve McGrew and at Remasculate. And check out the vlogs that we started to do and comment and share and
I'm gonna
subscribe.
Have to watch some of those.
Yeah, you have to watch some of them. I shot one the other day with the girlfriend and I have been doing it for the Wrinkled Sheets.
Mm-hmm.
But I shot one the other day for the Remasculate with Jeremy, my pal from Mix 100,
okay.
The morning show producer. And it's fun, it's ridiculous, and I hope somebody likes it, that's all.
You're not going to pimp the porn channel?
No porn channel.
I saw the lights in the bedroom.
It's not a porn channel. It's home video. It's home video.
Oh, okay. Personal use only?
Yeah, that's what it is. All right, that's it. We got to go. See you next time. Until then, God bless America. Go listen to some Oak Ridge Boys. I bid you adieu. Oh, wait, before you go, I want to say thanks for listening to the podcast. And if you get a chance and you're looking for other podcasts to listen to, be sure and listen to the Say What podcast with Tom Chase and Sweet Graham Cracker. It's a podcast that I enjoy. It's a podcast that I listen to when I'm on the toilet. It's a great place to just sit there and, you know, have something to listen to. So check out the Say What podcast. All right, now you can go. See ya!